Good morning, everyone, and thank you once again for joining with us. Today, I want to talk about the Bible. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask the question, the Bible, what's in it for me? Well, I know that sounds a little bit self-serving, but I think when we get done, you'll see that there is a lot in the Bible that's specifically for us, if we believe it. So let's get started. As a child, we had a little jingle. Perhaps you know it. It goes like this. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand up on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. A cute little old jingle. And it's pretty important because it talks about, as a Christian, we're supposed to stand up on the Word of God. But there was something else that we did as children too. Well, whether we were in vacation Bible school or Sunday school or anything like that, there's three pledges that we would do. First, being American, we would do the pledge to the allegiance to the flag. Secondly, a pledge to the Christian flag. And the third, a pledge to the Bible. We would hold up our Bibles. And we would say, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart, that I may not sin against God. Again, powerful words for a child's pledge. I think every adult ought to make that pledge. And we should live by that, don't you think? Well, the big question is, do we? Well, have we made the Bible a light into our path and a lamp into our feet? Have we actually done that? And I think that was reversed. For hundreds of years, that was true, but over the last 50 to 100 years, there has been a slow drift away from our confidence in the Bible by conservative Christians who say we believe in the Bible. You say, we say amen. I believe and trust in the Bible. But when it comes to actually living that Bible, do we? Particularly when it conflicts with the culture. You see what I'm talking about? A lot of times we get digging around trying to find us an escape hatch to where we really don't have to do what the Bible has to say. So, now let me give you a test. Well, quite frankly, I've already done that. Last week I asked you to read Psalms 119. And when I did that, there was some signs and sighs and moans when I asked people to read Psalms 119. Well, it is the longest chapter in the longest book in the Bible. And it is a summary of David's love and his passion for the Bible. So, how did you go? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or to say I did if you read Psalms 119. I know a lot of people have. But I think it's a good way to find out just where we are with the Bible. And in Psalms 119, we'll be able to find some things that the Word of God, the Bible, is for us. So this is a pretty important psalm that a lot of people avoid because it is so long. We shouldn't be avoiding this one because it's pretty important. So let's dig in. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the day you've made. We're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Thank you for the Word of God, and help us now to focus our attention back on the Word of God. Help us to quit questioning it and just start living by it. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's dig into Psalms 119, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instructions. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with their whole heart. In the first two verses, it's clear that those who keep God's decrees and walk according to God's commands are going to be happy people, or as some translations say, they're blessed people. Either way, it's a magnificent thing. And focusing and following God's word will create happiness within us. It'll make us happy people. And we all want to be happy. Well, according to David, to know God's instruction and live by it will make us happy. I think that's much better than the self-help books that are on that line the bookshelves of the bookstore. Go back to God's word, and it will tell us how to be happy people. And if we keep his commandments, something else will happen, verses 6 through 7. Then I would not be ashamed when I think about all of your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Listen, if we keep God's commands, it will create a clear, clean conscience within us. And because of that clear, clean conscience, we'll be able to rest at night without any shame. Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And also, to keep God's commandments will result in praise out of a clean heart. So, look, keeping God's word has so many benefits. Truly, there's a lot in it for us. Isn't that what we want? We'll get back into God's word and start living that way. Now let's go on to verse number 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. There's a lot of talk today about today's generation moving away from God. So what caused them to move away from God? I think maybe they're following the example that we set as we move away from God's word and start questioning it. How could they possibly have confidence in God's word when we don't? I want you to think about that. God's word will keep our young people pure, but it has to be modeled by mom and dad. Look at verse number 18. Open my eyes so that I may contemplate wondrous things from your instruction. The Bible can feed the creative mind. Let me say it again. The Bible can feed the creative mind. C.S. Lewis was one of the greatest examples. He was an author, and he had a huge imagination, but the Bible fed that creativity. See, if we dig into the Word of God and scratch around, it will reveal amazing things for us to see. We just need to get into it and start digging around and let God inspire our hearts and challenge our imagination. Now go with me to verses 22 through 24, and let's watch this one closely. Take insult and contempt away from me, for I have kept your decrees. Though princes sit together in speaking against me, your servant will think about your statutes. Your decrees are my delight and my counselors. Look, it may hurt you for people to talk about you negatively, or at least to think they're speaking about you negatively. Sometimes we think they are when they're really not. But anyway, if we're really torn down by what we think people think of us and talk about us, then God's word will be our counselor during those times. I am a firm believer in Christian counselors who will take God's word and walk people through and out of difficulty. I've seen it work. Counseling with God's word can make a huge difference in every person's life because it is powerful. Now look at verse number 37. turn my eyes from looking at worth at what is worthless, and give me life in your ways. We all know that we watch and look at a lot of worthless things. Am I right? Well, with God's help and our focus on His commandments and His Word, we can turn our gaze away from those things that are worthless and look at things that are real and permanent. Listen, David said, and He will give us life, real, honest to goodness life, rather than just this stuff that just floats all over the place. Now go with me to verses 45 through 48. I will walk freely in an open place because I study your precepts. I will speak of your decrees before kings and not be ashamed. I delight in your commands, which I love. I will lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and will meditate on your statutes. Look what David said, walking freely in the open, speaking openly before important people, lifting up confident hands in praise. This is so full of godly confidence. And why does it come? Because our focus is on God's commands. We live the way that God wants us to live, and that sets us free to have His confidence in our life. We can lift up hands unhindered because of God's commands. Again, that is godly confidence. And we want that, and we all need that. That comes because of one thing. It's a focus on His instruction. Again, what more do you want out of life? Now look, we have talked about so many wonderful things that God has for us in our lives from His Word. And we're not even to verse 50 of the 176 in Psalms 119. But let's move on now to 57. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. There's a Christian song that's out nowadays that says that the Lord is for us. Well, true, the Lord is for us. But according to David, the Lord is for us, and He gives His strength and His comfort to those who will focus and keep His Word. You see the difference? God will look after those who follow His commands. Verse number 61. Though the ropes of the wicked were wrapped around me, I did not forget your instructions. Sometimes evil people are just trying to tear you down. Listen, Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, remembered God's promise, and he slept like a baby when the lions just circling around him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they walked out of the fiery furnace because they trusted God. And there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. Listen, there's power in trusting God. You see, when God is our portion, you don't need anything else. Did you get that? When God is your portion, you don't need anything else. Then David gets personal and almost intimate. Verse number 73. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding so that I can learn your commands. Look, God put us together the way He wanted us to put together, just as His design was. And David knew that, and it changed him. There's so much more that we can learn from Psalms 119. But I'll leave that up to you. We've already gone through verses number 73. I'd suggest you start at 50 and go all the way to the end and look if you could find some things that God has for you. So I want you to be able to discover those wonderful things for yourself. But all of these things begin with one major verse. Go with me to verse number 41. Let your faithful love come to me, Lord, your salvation as you promised. All these amazing things that God has for us in the New Testament age, in the church age, begins through the salvation that Jesus has provided for us. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into the Father except by me. Jesus is the way. Say that with me. Jesus is the way. So Jesus is the way to God, and Jesus is the way to this complete storehouse of blessings that God has for us. There's no other way to engage with all those things in the Bible that's for us unless we first bow at the foot of the cross. That's the cross that Jesus died on, and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. So keep those things in mind. And if we trust Jesus, because of Jesus, He'll give us a new mind, a new heart, a new light. He'll open our eyes to where we can see these wonderful things, where beforehand you won't be able to see them. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. When we get saved, we are brand spanking new people with new eyes, so we can see and we can experience God's blessings for us. But you must first choose to respond to Jesus' invitation. And He said, come to me, I will give you rest. And anyone who comes to me, I will never cast them out. So why don't you come to Jesus today? Why don't you trust His sacrifice for you? Why don't you let Him give you a new life, a new mind, and new eyes, so you can see and experience these blessings that God has for you? I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to listen to a song. And if you've never trusted Christ and you feel God drawing on you right now, just invite Jesus into your life and let Him open your eyes to where you can see. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these blessings in Psalms 119. Now, Lord, for those who are watching, I pray that you will change their lives today as they bow at the foot of the cross and trust Jesus, trust His sacrifice, trust the shedding of His blood for their sins. And Lord, I ask you to make them brand new. In Jesus' name, amen.